We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So what, we get drunk. So what, we don't sleep. We're just having fun. We don't care who sees. So what, we go out. That's how it's supposed to be.
Talking about Canes. Talk about Canes.
Canes around here.
By the way, you can join the 411 Pain WQAM street team at the Dos Equis Watch Party at Twin Peaks in Pembroke Pines Saturday, 8 to 11 p.m. The WQAM street team will have Dos Equis giveaways, and you'll have a chance to win a 60-gallon cooler. Dos Equis, keep it interesante. You want to try that?
Keep it interesante.
We should give that to DBJ. Enjoy Dos Equis responsibly, imported by Cervezas Mexicanas, White Plains, New York. All right. Ready to talk to Manny Navarro?
Ready.
Let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood, buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Manny Navarro, our friend, he is a columnist now and a beat writer for the Miami Hurricanes on The Athletic. You can go to The Athletic. You can go to Manny Navarro's Twitter account and get the link right there, Manny_Navarro. Hello, Manny.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
How you enjoying writing for the Athletic, by the way? I was going to say The Atlantic, which would be a nice promotion that I just gave you. But how are you enjoying writing for The Athletic?
It's good, man. It's been a different kind of experience. You know, I don't have to run to my computer right away and write everything that happens, and get to have a little bit more time to put stuff together. So as a writer, it's more enjoyable. For sure.
Good for you. I hope a lot of people are joining up and reading your work. Hurricanes practice today. Who was injured? Or one of the backup tight ends?
Yeah, Brian Poledny, who is basically their blocking tight end. He plays about six or seven snaps a game, and you know, tight formations and so forth. And so, you know, it's a bad loss for them because, you know, you got the two freshmen, Will Mallory and Brevin Jordan, that are playing a whole lot anyway, and he's kind of the insurance policy. Now you're down to two scholarship tight ends. So, you know, it is a little scary. They're going to have a walk-on as the third tight end, but look, I think as long as the two freshmen stay healthy, you're going to survive just fine because those are the guys that were catching the ball anyway.
What's the narrative for this coming Saturday's game? It's FIU, and you've got Butch Davis there, and you've got Ken Dorsey there. Like, is the narrative, you know, Junior?
Yeah, I mean, Butch has done, a decent job, you know, trying to get FIU back on his feet here. He's done a pretty good job recruiting. You listen to the UM coaches today talk about FIU's defensive line and how big those guys are at the tackle position, and you know, just how they've got some speed on offense. And look, it's tough to recruit to Conference USA. You're not going to get the best players when you're in the same city as UM. But I think Butch is doing a pretty good job, and then Miami's expected to have a pretty decent game on Saturday.
Manny, I heard you on with Dono probably last week sometime. You were talking about how you were doing research for Malik Rozier, a bunch of research you were doing on him. And then I saw the article recently. Can you tell the listeners what you found in that article? I don't think they want to hear it, but can you tell them?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's basically an examination of why Malik has sort of struggled so much. And you know, it's one of those things, Channing. Look, every quarterback, you know this, man, from playing in the league. If you put pressure on a guy, he's going to be less accurate. And the thing with Malik is that even when he's not getting pressured, he's not very accurate. And so if you want to go to the article and read all the numbers, I put everything in there. But the bottom line is, it just sort of further emphasized the point that he's a guy that, even when he's not facing the heat, he has trouble getting the ball where it needs to go. And I think, you know, what we saw on Saturday, at least against Toledo, he was much more accurate. He was about 70% on target for his passes. I think over, you know, the games against Clemson and Wisconsin and LSU, it was closer to 50%, which is really, really bad. I'm talking about the worst in the FBS. So he was a little bit more accurate. on Saturday. I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that the running game was effective. He's just one of those quarterbacks that, you know, he's not going to make plays on his own. He needs help. He needs guys to block for him. He needs a running game to help him out, take some pressure off of him. And, you know, look, I think everybody looks at Malik right now, and they're frustrated with him. They're saying you should have a better quarterback at the University of Miami than Malik Rozier. But to me, for right now, he can still get the job done, man. He should still be able to beat the FIUs, the Toledos. You know, Miami should be 6-1 by the time it gets to Boston College, as long as they've got a running game and they're helping him out.
Manny Navarro from The Athletic is with us. Malik got a little social media traction after Saturday's game where he intimated that the was not just directed at opposing fans, but was, I guess, directed at his detractors in South Florida as well. I liked it. I thought it was I feel for him. What was your take on it? And I'm guessing I don't know if Mark Richt was asked about it today, but I'm sure he would wish that he just focuses on being a quarterback.
Yeah, Mark talked about it on Saturday after the game. He hopes he doesn't pay attention to everybody who's booing him and, you know, trying to bring him down on social media. Look, Malik's a pretty mentally strong kid, and I think when he's got his confidence going, he can, like I said, he can get the job done. He's good enough to lead this team to wins over teams that they should beat. But the question is, will he be able to show up in Blacksburg? Will he be able to show up and perform when they need him at Boston College? Those are going to be the next big test for him. But I think he's look, fifth-year senior. He can make some plays with his legs. I thought he ran the ball really well on Saturday, made smart decisions running the ball, not just running because he wanted to run. He was running behind his blockers and reading the defense, et cetera. So I think, you know, he's a kid that can lead you to victories, just like he did last year. He led Miami to 10 wins last year. I think he's capable of doing the same thing this year.
Manny, what's the story on Gerald Willis? Because he transferred in from Florida, I know I read, but he's looking like an all-ACC, all-American type candidate. How do you get an all-American candidate transfer in his last year?
Well, look, he's been here for 2 years already. He's been dealing with injuries. They've had him part of the system. And really, this is a kid who's just, Channing, you know how it is. When your career hasn't gone the way you hoped it and you're in your last year, all of a sudden you start paying attention, right? You start thinking about those NFL dollars and how am I going to make it. And this kid knows this is his last chance. He knows that if he's going to have a professional career and make some money and take care of his family, he's got to show up. And he's playing like a guy who's just hungry. He's playing a guy, you know, playing like a guy who's smart, who's showing leadership. He was just named captain for the second time this season. I don't think anybody who knows anything about Gerald Willis' past and the type of guy he was before would ever imagine him being the captain of the defense. But that's the kind of leader and the kind of player he's been the last couple weeks. You know, and Rick said it today. I asked him specifically about Gerald, and he said, yeah, he's like, you know, this is the guy that we were hoping we would get. We didn't know if we necessarily would. And he's just completely bought in. He's huge. He's fast. He's strong. And he's been playing, you know, out of his mind. I mean, UM is number one in the country in tackles for loss, and Gerald Willis is leading them with 7 tackles for loss. So he's played out of his mind, and hopefully for the Hurricanes, he keeps playing that way because they really need him.
He was probably the only one that played good against LSU, right? I mean, he was the only player I can recall coming on the air on that Monday saying, or what was that, it was a Sunday night game. Yeah, coming on Monday and saying, yeah, Gerald Willis, like, he looked good, but that was the only one.
Yeah, he's been the one consistent guy on that defensive side. Obviously, Jaquan Johnson, too, he's leading the team in tackles again, but we'll have to see whether or not Jaquan ends up missing this week's game with the hammy and you know how much time he's really out. But I thought those two guys have been the most consistent on the defensive side of the ball for sure.
Talking about a breakout star, if they're both healthy, Manny, who's better, Amon Richards or Jeff Thomas?
Man, I like Jeff Thomas so much.
He can play.
He can play, man. And he's a little dude, but he makes every single. And I thought the catch he made down the sideline against LSU, where that ball looked like it was going out of bounds, and he just rose up and caught that ball in 2 DBs and flew past him. I thought, okay, that might be the catch of the year for Miami, the way he was able to keep himself in bounds and make a play on that ball. But then he comes back, and the over-the-shoulder catch at Toledo, the one that Rozier kind of laid out there for him was just unreal. I mean, this kid has ridiculous skills. And the biggest difference is, at least if you talk to the coaches, they say he's the same guy every single day in practice. I think last year, you know, when you come in as a freshman, you got a little bit of immaturity to him and not really, you know, ready for the college scene and playing hard at practice every single day. That's not the way he is now. I think the light bulb sort of went off for Jeff Thomas as camp started. And he's like, look, if I'm really going to make those big dollars in the NFL, I got to start showing out, and he's showing out every single week for this team.
Manny Navarro, you can read his work at the Athletic. So where are we with the Miami Hurricanes? We're three games down. The schedule, you know, the big one up against FSU coming up doesn't look like it's very big anymore. Where are we with this Canes team?
Well, I think this team should be 6-1. Like I said, I think going into the Boston College game, that's going to be the next big test. Because I like what Boston College has done. You've watched a little bit of them this season. They're ranked now. They're 3-0, I think 23rd in the country in the AP poll. And so that's going to be a tough game, a Friday night game up there. But look, this team is still in position to get the job done and win the Coastal Division. I think Virginia Tech, you know, we look back at that opening night win at FSU now, and we're all thinking, okay, wait a minute, was that really that impressive? They scored 24 points against this FSU defense that just looked horrible against Syracuse. So I think, look, if you were to ask me how do I think the Canes will finish, I think probably 10-2, winning the Coastal Division and then having to play Clemson again in the ACC title game.
Do you think Malik Rozier finishes the season as the Canes' starting quarterback?
That's going to be a good question, man. I think if they're 10-2, he will. I think if they lose a few games along the way here that they shouldn't, then I think Mark Rick probably gives Nikosi Perry a shot to be the starter at some point.
And Manny, with all the turnover, are they chains? Are they props? What are the all?
I mean, all the props. Yeah,
the props. Have you seen?
I said college football defense become like Carrot Top.
Props everywhere. But have you seen any other props you like? There's a bunch of them out there. I've seen some that I've kind of taken a liking to.
Well, I like the that turnover throne that they got at Boise State.
That's cool.
That one's pretty cool. The backpack is horrendous. The one that FSU.
Oh, you're talking about the pocketbook?
Pocketbook.
Yeah, whatever that is. That's horrendous. I mean, look, the turnover chain to me was what started this whole phenomenon, right? Because I know Alabama had their belt and there were other schools that had stuff, but this turnover chain, when everybody saw that, everybody wanted a turnover chain. Like, everybody in the country's like, I need to have that. So to me, turnover chain is number one. I take that turnover throne number two. And then after that, all of them to me are just much copycat.
There's a Ric Flair robe that I think is kind of cool.
That's my three.
There's a chalice. Someone's got a chalice, right? And then this weekend, someone unveiled the turnover chainsaw.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've seen the other ones, but I don't know, man. The turnover chain is just, it's so cool. It's so 80s, so Miami. It's just like, I don't know, man. It's the coolest thing out there. And you got to give props to the Hurricanes and Manny Diaz and those guys for coming up with that idea and then sort of reinventing it. I like the way that this year's version looks better than last year's.
We're laughing because yesterday Crowder called it the chain over turn saw.
Man.
It's a little scrambled. Manny Navarro, and you're happy, I'm guessing, as rest of Miami is that D. Wade gives us one last dance with the Heat.
Yeah, man. Well, it's going to make the Heat relevant, right? Every night on the road when Miami's playing in whatever city they're playing in, it's going to be the last time D. Wade is going there. So I think it's going to kind of, you know, I don't know if it's going to be Kobe-like, you know, where every night it felt like the Lakers had to be on TV, but I'm willing to bet the Heat ends up on more national TV broadcasts now because of this.
All right. Read Manny Navarro's work at The Athletic. You could follow The Athletic on Twitter at The Athletic MIA and Manny Navarro as well at Manny_Navarro. Thank you for talking a little Canes with us, Manny.
Good talking to you guys. Take care, man.
Manny Navarro there. Were you listening to Chain Over Turnsaw by Aaron Smith?
I was.
Yeah, Falero wasn't here yesterday. Do you have it? Let me hear this again. It was funny. He was just trying to say Turnover Chainsaw.
I think the Chain Over Saw, they need to crank it up.
The Chain Over Saw.
What are you saying there,
man? Chain Over Saw.
Chain Over Saw.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.